Appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight. It is always a pleasure to get in front of the congregation and speak from the Lord's Word. It's a daunting task in some respects because obviously you want to make sure that what you have studied is in line with what is being taught, and that also to present in such a way that people understand what is trying to be taught. So it's but it is a privilege, and it's something that I truly look forward to for each and every time that I get an opportunity to come up here. You know, when you look at our lives and you look at the opportunities presented to us, there's some questions that come to mind at times. You know, and questions like, what can you really be sure of? What are the guarantees that are out there? Or guarantees that we have? You know, you look at the uncertainty of our world, and we see reminders of that every day. We hear the economy is getting proven. Next thing you know, 5,000 folks are being laid off here. You see that crime is going down, and then you see the type of actions that are taken by individuals out there and causing death around the world and in the United States as well. You see the lack of integrity, the changes in moral behavior. You know, I read an article the other day. A politician said, I never lie. When there's facts that are out there that it proven the individual has. You know, I look at my life and I know I have, and maybe some of you older individuals have done the same thing, says, you know, I would have never seen that kind of dress or that kind of action when I was younger, when I was growing up. The changes are out there. Some of you, when you were in my class, you know I like figures and doing those kind of things. And you talk about the changes and even reverence to God. Being reverent to God and being a Christian right now is the big thing out there, especially in South Carolina. If you looked at a lot of things that happened as the politicians were rolling through, everybody's a Christian now in name. But if you look at what has been done, there's actually been those individuals that call themselves Christians has gone down 8% in the last 6 years. The number of atheists and non-believers has gone up 6%. And the delta of those, the Muslims, that there's some slight increases in some of those other religions. And it's not just one group. It's just not the young folks. But that's across all ages, all ethnic groups. Doesn't matter where you were born or where or anything else or what your background or where you fit in the social structure of life. It hits all areas. And there are things that can make you wonder, and that uncertainty can be very unstable. It can really affect you when you see these kind of things. But you know, God provides a counterview to all those hard times. God provides the light, if you must say it, a light or at the end of the tunnel to see it. The recent article that was just the verses that were just read is really the basis of our lesson today. And I'm not going to restate it, but just a couple things I've underlined. We're going to hit these points. Being diligent. Being diligent means a lot of things, but it really means you're really focused on doing something. It's not a one-time shot. It's not, well, you know, if I get time this week, I'll do it. It's really being focused and working hard at doing that, whether it's your job, whether it's anything else. Being diligent to present yourself approved to God. Approved, to sort of offer a testing. And when I was reading different things, sort of taking where you throw different metals into something and you burn off, and then what's left over is the pure metal. That's really what we're talking about, approved to God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And what they talk about is cutting it straight. What's truly the truth and what's, quote, in quotations, what some people consider the truth. Understanding what is right and what is wrong. Shunning profanity, profane and idle babblings. We've had lots of lessons about that. Everything come gossip, everything else that comes into play runs into that. And it's interesting, spread like cancer. You know, we had lunch today and we were talking about, you know, it seems like there's more people dying of cancer? Well, it's because we know more about the diseases, and so where people were dying in the past, they did not necessarily know what disease they were dying from. But the fact in the scripture, it talks about spreading like cancer. It's interesting when you really look at it. And what are they talking about? Individuals like Arminius and Philetus, where they have strayed from the truth, where they're saying that, you know, the resurrection of believers has already occurred. And the fact what that does, it overthrows the faith of some. What's more disappointing than when you bring someone into the church and you open their eyes and they understand the importance and they are washed anew and they fall away? And if you look at all those things that they've tried to do, then they talk about in these verses, nevertheless, or nevertheless. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but basically it's the contrast to all of the other things. Okay, I got a bad grade on the test, but I started seeing what I needed to do. It's the contrast, it's the counter to what's being said. And then it talks about having a seal, and we're going to go through that and what that means to have the seal. You know, Paul in 2 Timothy is obviously talking to his protege, Timothy. You know, and Timothy really faced a lot of discouraging circumstances, just like we all face today, but even more when you look at a little bit about his background. You know, and Paul, above all else, understood that if Timothy had a true trust in God and maintained that trust in God, no matter how bad it can be, there is that light that he can always go to. A light that's there. And something that each of us, when we look at these things and look at these verses, and there's only five verses, 14 through 19, talking about all the bad things that are out there, but saying that there is that light that we can go toward. You know, but when you look at what Paul was trying to say, there's a part of it that understanding the context of the circumstances that are laid out here. And they're not really that easy. You know, first of all, in Hebrews 13:23, it talks about, know that our brother Timothy has been set free. So what does that imply? It implies that Timothy has been in prison before. He has gone into prison because of his beliefs and for his love for God. So he's already seen, you know, we had a discussion in morning's class. Well, we're not, you know, at least here in the United States and here where we're at in Somerville, in the Charleston area, we're not going to be persecuted because we're a Christian. Not like in other places. But Timothy has felt that. And then when you couple that, and you recognize that he has been facing that, and you can, if you've been in prison once for something in that you believe, there's probably a high probability that may affect you again. At least that's going to be in the back of your mind. I've had a speeding ticket. I was more afraid than anything else to get a second speeding ticket. Even if it was 6 years later, it happened. But think about if you were put in prison for something you truly believed, and you're faced with that kind of thing again. Then you tie that with, in 2 Timothy 4:6, it talks about the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul's in prison when he's writing this. He wasn't saying, I'll see you soon. My time of departure is at hand. It is close. Now, Paul wasn't saying that because he was afraid to leave this earth. Because he knew where he was going. And he had the trust in God and the love for God and understanding of what God wanted us to do and what Jesus laid out, that he was comfortable with it. But still, if you're the protege and it's your mentor that's out there and he tells you this, that could be a little discerning in yourself. He's been there by your side. He has encouraged you. He's done all these things. And then you're reading this. And you're hearing this. It's something that's not easy. But he was aware. So what do you think what Timothy would think of that? And then Timothy also faced some other things. In 1 Timothy, Paul talked about those individuals that despised his youth. Now, youth is a relative term here. Now, Paul, Timothy had been, really grew up, and then from a very young age, young being the 20s, and he may have been, there's really no set age that he's right now in his youth, but he's somewhere between 30 and 40, probably, maybe 25, somewhere in that range. So not a young child. It's not the Sams or the Connors of the world. They're a little older, not quite to my age, long way from my age, but, you know, some of the individuals here, close to their ages, but still, he was being despised because of his youth. And the facts, and how that could impact him. You know, it said in 1 Timothy 4:12 that we refer here, it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." You still drive on. But again, when you're going out and you're preaching the word, if people are looking down on you just because of your age and where you're at or at in a particular position, that could impact you. And then we've already talked about spreading like cancer and the Hymenaeus and Philetus and what that does. And the disappointment that can be when you have worked hard, and it could have been friends of Timothy or people that he was closely associated with, where working with them and then they've decided to go away and go to Satan. And you start looking at that, and you start wondering, I'm doing what is right, what the Lord has laid out to me. Why would they now go to Satan? Why would they go to the other side? You know, am I doing something wrong? Is what I'm preaching really the truth? If they're going away, because if God is on my side, how can anybody be against me? Not saying those are the kind of questions that he would have asked himself, but I know what, you know, I've been and I've helped people become Christians, and they may fall away, or some fall away, and you start wondering, you question yourself, what did I do wrong? Those are the kind of things he may do. And even further, is saying, if you're seeing this going happen, what's the future hold for the church if people are falling away like that? You jump all the way from all that many years ago to today, and we see drops in percentages. So valid concerns, if indeed that was a concern he had. But, you know, against all of these negative aspects, and I say negative from a standpoint of impacting on your thinking process and what you're facing in life, there is a counter. It's in the verses that we were reading in 2 Timothy 2:19. It starts off with "nevertheless." That's used 97 times within the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. You know, when we're talking about that word, it points to a conclusion that contrasts everything that's said before. So here between 14 and 18, they say all these things that are going on and saying you need to work hard, you need to do this. There's those individuals out there that will impact your ability, that will be striving to do things against you. And this is saying, contrast all of that, there is something out there. And it's really focused on describing the faithfulness that what God makes and provides to us, and the importance of that. You know, in 2 Timothy 1:11-2, it says, "To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a church, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." They go through all of that. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." You know, you look at that, and this was not Paul having confidence in himself. These verses are tied of looking at Jesus Christ, the trustworthiness of him. What is out there? What is provided? The trust in the Lord. "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." He has a trust in the Lord, the same kind of trust that we should have each and every day. It's something that's very important to us and should be very important to us. And the importance of that foundation as we grow as Christians, knowing that there is always that trust there. No matter how crazy this world is, that should be the core of all that we think about. Because that's sort of that, as a young child, the blanket you hold. I still, when I get sick, I have a special shirt and a special pair of pajama bottoms that I wear. Jackie knows that I am sick when I put that on. No matter what else, I don't have to say a word. She knows there's something wrong. And that's sort of my little cushion, my little blankie. God is ours in each and everything that we do in our lives. It's something that we should never forget. In verse 19 of the scripture we read, it talks about the solid foundation of God stands. You know, there are those that are working against, we see that every day, that are working against what God has said. There are those that have left the truth, as we've talked about. But that doesn't change the foundation of God. It's solid. Another term they've used is sure or unwavering. Steady in strength. In Hebrews 5, it talks about, it's used as a term as strong, when it's talking about those that are eating solid food and not just milk. Means you've got that more stable and secure environment, that you're going in the direction you need. There's an understanding of what God wants us to do and the truths associated with that. It's not the first grade stuff. It's going and it's learning day after day and so forth, and understand the importance and how that allows you to build a stronger foundation and the importance of that. You know, it's interesting when you hear foundation, there's a lot of perspectives. And I'll admit, when I was younger in the faith, it was one that I really thought about, and every time I looked toward it, when I thought foundation, I think from an engineering perspective. I'm not an engineer, but I've been accused of being an engineer more than once because I'm very analytical. But there are some different views of what Paul references of what was stated when he states the foundation of God. One was really a foundation of a building. Or even the building itself. And you say that's the foundation, is the church. Physical structure. You know, you look at that, and really when I was up in Northern Virginia, we had a lot of classes on Calvinism. And this is a verse that they actually refer to from that standpoint, and really talking about being part of that foundation and being predestined, which we all know is not correct. In fact, we had that discussion in morning's class today, that's not the point. But it is something that there is a view out there that people perceive that. But there's a broader view, and a view, and I think I would pretty much with a lot of confidence believe that we all here believe, and that is what it states in Ephesians 2:19-20. Now therefore you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints, a member of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we're not talking about building structure. We're talking about the teachings of the Word being the foundation of all we're doing. I think we know that. But recognizing that, what can happen to a foundation? It may last 50 years, it may last 70 years, but it's not going to last forever of a building. But the Word can and will. And having a misunderstanding of what's meant by foundation truly weakens the whole aspect of what our beliefs would be if you don't understand what the foundation truly is built on. Very closely to that, when it talks about the house, it talks about The foundation. If you've had a house built or seen a house, there's girders that will support the foundation, whether it's the rebar or whatever, to help get that foundation. But as we see in these first verses, well, how does that apply? And it goes back, if you look at Matthew 16:18, and it talks about the rock build my church. Now, they're not talking about a rock as we would go outside and as a little kid we would throw. They're talking Peter, an apostle, being that rock. Again, it's the word that they're focused on. And it's something that we all should recognize and feel confident in, because that is something that will not crack as we move forward in our lives. It helps us to understand. In 2 Timothy 2:15, when we're talking about where Paul is urging Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth, cutting it straight, and he ties in, and where that comes into play is the verse 17, where he talks about the two individuals that are straying from the word and pulling individuals away. It's that split, understanding what is right. And you get that by understanding what is in the word and following those teachings. But you know, even when the faith is overthrown for individuals, the true object of that is that faith remains standing. The faith isn't what isn't that's impacted. It's the belief of individuals that's impacted, that they do not understand what they need to do to follow the word. So it doesn't corrupt the word. It is only those individuals that aren't taking the word the way it should be that's being corrupted. And when we look at in 2 Timothy 2:19, it talks about a seal. You know, a seal was a sign of ownership or authentication. We still do it today. Not as common, because now you have digital signatures and you have a lot of other things. But even Sam might remember where you used to notarize things. You have to go to an office. They took out this little hand thing, looked like a little stapler, and then they would press it in there into the paper, and then they would initial it. And that was the seal of authentication, that Steve Campbell's signature was accurately depicted on this thing based on my verification of their identification card. Verse 19 talks about that, where it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He's laid out the seal. You can think of it as that foundation stone that talks about Christ being that chief cornerstone. Two sides of it. Side one, the Lord knows those who are His. Now, you really can't find a direct quotation within the Old Testament, but you can see some good examples in the Old Testament where that comes into play. One of them is, and probably the best fit will be a good example of this, is from Number 16, where it's talking about Moses and talking about Korah and his followers and how they wanted to go against Moses and what he was doing. And in Numbers 16, 4 and 5, it says, "So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face." And this is obviously right after he heard about these individuals that wanted to take down Moses, for lack of a better term. It says, "He spoke to Korah and all his company, says, 'Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is His and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him.'" Now, when you look at that, God was getting ready to make a distinction between those that are with him and those who are against him. Now, if you think about that, and if you read the rest of it, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, that really should be a comfort to all of us. God knows. You know, we can walk into a room and we can meet 50 people. Not necessarily in this group here, but you could probably, in some cases, you can determine that this individual doesn't quite believe what I have. I mean, in a long discussion over a certain period of time, you can figure some things out. But it takes time to do this. Here it's saying that God knows. He's going to prove it. He didn't have to send out a survey to figure out, okay, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys. These guys are on my side. He knows what's going on. It needs to be a comfort to us, or it should be. It doesn't mean that we cannot or should not discern the faithfulness, the faithful from the unfaithful. In fact, in 2 Timothy, in the verses we read, it even talks about to shun profane and idle babbling. So we still have an obligation ourselves. But God knows what's going to happen. He can know the difference. We talked about our works. He sees it. He remembers. He knows what is going on. Now, we didn't get in discussion this morning, but the works are all different for each individual. You know, one of my thoughts when we were talking about it, I've got folks that are super high cyber technicians, and I've got admin folks. They provide different things to the team. But I don't grade or evaluate my cyber tech against my admins person as one-on-one, because their responsibilities and what they're required to do is dramatically different. I grade them on the works based on their abilities to do things against themselves. There's no checklist that we have to do that states we need to do 28 of this particular event and 17 of these where we check them off and we're done. We're supposed to give our very best each and every day and be a reflection of the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's how God knows the difference, because He's seeing that each and every day. So even when faith is overthrown, as I said earlier, that doesn't mean that faith is not standing, because it's there. You know, in John 10:14-15, it says, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He is there. He knows it. If you've ever been, I've been to Germany several times. A lot of sheep herders. Been over in Southwest Asia and been to Iraq, and I've been to those places, and you see the Bedouins with their sheep, and they just follow them. They know what they're doing. They know who the shepherd is, and the shepherd knows who their sheep are. That's what we're talking about here. There is no doubt. When he was younger, it doesn't matter. There could have been 20 kids in a room, little babies in a room, and I could tell the difference. Even as the father, I could tell the difference. Didn't matter. 2 days after he was born, we're in the hospital, still in the hospital. And someone tells Jackie, your baby's over there getting pricked. And Jackie heard the baby cry. Says, that's not my baby. Didn't see the baby. The baby was happened to be in the one of the little, not as fancy as the one I saw today, but one of those little things that move along with the baby inside, and the baby was sleeping. But you can tell. That's God. That's what God can do with each one of us. He knows. He knows what's there. He knows what's important and what we're supposed to do. The Lord truly does know what we're supposed to be. When you look at this and you walk through it, the other part of it is, and this is the other side of that coin. Let everyone whose name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, this is the second reason. This is that other side for hope and assurance. If you follow God, you're departing from iniquity. You can't do both. And that's what they're talking about here. It's laying the foundation, the stage of what you should be doing. You know, there's going to be, it's also a confidence, knowing that if you do that, that God is there to help you. That it's part of what you're doing. It's separation from evil and focused on that. You know, following Numbers 16 again, 26, it talks about, depart now from the tents of these wicked men, touch nothing of theirs, lest you will be consumed in all their sins. So that next day, going back in Numbers 16, their word was given, and Moses put it out. Don't get anywhere near Korin and his followers. Don't touch anything. If you do, which means you haven't really departed from iniquity, you will be taken down, or in this case, swallowed up. The ground opens up. They're gone. The ground closes. Done. You get too close to those that are doing the evil things, you will be taken down with them. I remember growing up, my dad was a security policeman in the Air Force, 26 years. One thing he's always told me, one thing I've always told my sons, you stay away a bit from bad people, you're protected. You get close to bad people, you will be impacted. I learned the hard way. Thought I knew more than my dad. I was wrong. But the Lord has given us multiple chances of telling us and laying out very clearly what we should and should not be doing. And part of it is departing from them. Departing from the rebels in this case in number 16. Or you'll be destroyed. You know, Jesus had something very similar when he states in John 10, 27, 28. My sheep hear my voice and know them and follow them. I'll give them eternal life and you shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You go to Jesus, you go to the Lord, He will protect you. That's what this is saying. He will protect you. He will do what is right. The direction you're going, the Lord has made promises to us, and He will fulfill His promises. But we have an obligation to do something about it. We can separate ourselves from evil, we can strive to do good. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to be sinless? No. The Lord understands that. But He's also laid out what we should be doing if we do sin and how we should be approaching things. You know, there should be a desire to be separate, to be there when the Lord calls for us. That's very easy distinction. Just going back in this, when it talks about in Numbers, don't be close. I've been associated with the military for a long time. Fratricide is one of the big terms. You don't want to be where fratricide is going to be. You don't want to be caught into it from the standpoint of good versus evil. And not that you're not quite in the evil category, but you're doing that gray line. You get caught with the fratricide. Because you don't know what the Lord knows. Your definition of, no, I'm not really there, I'm just sort of rubbing the edges of this stuff. Well, you may be off. The Lord knows. There's nothing in here that says, well, you can sort of ride the line. It says, good works. Not so-so works. Good works. So in conclusion, before I go on that, I do want to say one other verse. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. And when you think about darkened, it's basically that they're so insensitive to morality that they can't even see it anymore. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart. Who being past feelings has given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, think about taking off your dirty clothes, concerning your formal conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed, putting on the snowy white robes, if you want to do it in a very similar to what talks about in Revelation. that you may put on the new with the, on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There is a path that we should go through. Now, we all recognize if you're sinners on this earth, even when you put on that white robe, it may get a little dirty every once in a while because we're not perfect. But the Lord's laid out what we should be doing. It goes back to that foundation in faith, the importance of that. You know, in answers to Timothy's unsure world and in discouraging circumstances, provided the certainty of God's word. Something that does not waver, does not crack. First quake hit this part of the world, which Somerville is near a fault line. There's always a possibility. I'm convinced there's little tremors all the time because my pictures are never straight on the wall. But that foundation could crack someday. But the foundation of our Lord and the word that comes through, and just as it talked about the prophets and the apostles and Peter being the rock, that does not crack. And something we should remember. God will not let us down. 2 Timothy 2:15, we talked about earlier, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. The right path we should follow each and every day. There are a lot of stressful events in our lives. There is no doubt. Changing jobs, moving. I've moved more times than I can even think. More than the ages that Connor is right now. And he'll be a sophomore in college and beyond before he even gets the number of times I've moved. There's a lot of things that will impact each of us. But we cannot forget that the firm foundation of God stands. And God's plan is still in effect. It does not change. People change, but God's plan does not change. You know, as we look at this, the purpose up here is not, I don't see a single individual in here that has not been associated with this congregation for a long time and have a belief in our Lord. Unless I'm the only one, there's always doubts that go in your mind about the environment that you're in. And you should have comfort in knowing that with all those doubts that are there, the one thing you should never worry about, and that is what God's plan is. And if you follow what He has asked us to do, He was willing to give His life for us, sinners, because He loved us. And what He's asking you to do is follow in the direction that He has laid out for us and truly be a reflection of His life through all of our actions and our attitudes. And no matter what is coming on the inside, outside of us, and it is bombarding us every day, just as Timothy had. And I'm pretty comfortable saying there's nobody here that is impacted the way Timothy was impacted in 2 Timothy. But if we were, it should not change the standpoint of what we should be like and how we should act, knowing that God truly is our foundation. And His word is there and will always be. Let us think of these things as we stand and we sing.